the Lombardi Line as we welcome you in. Hope you're having a great Saturday. I'm Patrick Maher, live from the VEASAN studios here at the South Point. Michael Lombardi, of course, in Jersey. Got Book, JJ, as well. And so a couple things. One, I don't know if you saw the comments from Mark Murphy. We'll get to those. We have some sound from Jordan Love coming up as we get into some of the NFL stories. But yesterday we had a little fun with this. So leverage in life is good, Michael Lombardi. Leverage is good. Mm-hmm. And Kyler Murray is the starting quarterback for your Cardinals. And we'll get into their board and talk about their odds coming up in just a little bit. But he came out recently and just kind of said, pontificating, you know, I'd always like to play baseball again one day. And you and I were joking, that's tremendous leverage, because if they ever want to franchise him or do anything like that, he'll just say, okay, I'm out of here. I'm going to go play baseball where I'll make more money. And you said, is he any good at baseball? So JJ did a great job. Let's go ahead and throw up the graphic. Here's his baseball scouting report. He was the 9th overall pick in 18. By the Oakland A's, who do things a little bit differently. You know this. Center fielder, shortstop. There's his scouting grades. Now, the scouting grades are on a scale of 20 to 80. And you see overall, Michael, Kyler Murray was a 50. But as JJ said, he drafted very much on potential by the A's there. But there's his numbers.
How is his arm only a 40?
He's a quarterback.
And his runs
his
only
worst
is,
number is his one attribute, throwing a football.
I mean, let's evaluate the evaluator here. Let's evaluate the evaluator. Like, okay, maybe hitting power are about, you know, I get that, but arm 40? Like, who's got a – I mean, he throws the football from here to eternity. I mean, I don't know how he can't throw a little baseball. I get that. I mean, I don't know. Look, here's the reality. He's got three more seasons under contract. They'll pick up his fifth year, no doubt. And if you're Steve Keim, you pick up the fifth year and you see where this goes. And at that point, it's 3 years from now, you know, where has he been? What has he done for your team? If you examine the last 8 games of the season after he got, you know, we don't know the details of the injury, but there was some shoulder injury that affected him that he really wasn't the same player. He wasn't the same player throwing the ball down the field. I think, like a lot of quarterbacks in the National Football League, I think Murray suffers from this perception, and it's really a perception, that the shorter the quarterback is, the more shotgun he should be in. And it's completely wrong. The shorter the quarterback, the more he should be under center, because he needs to separate the defense. He needs to run play action. He needs to draw the defense. Drew Brees was brilliant at this. Now, he was in shotgun too, don't get me wrong, but Murray's always in shotgun. And if you rush him correctly and you contain him and you don't let him be the beep beep guy, which is running all over the place, and keep him in a tight pocket, force him to throw the ball over a wall, it is a problem for him. You can't get around it. You can't get around it. And Buddy Ryan has the great line of all time. Buddy Ryan says this very clearly. There is a place for the little man in football. It's just not in front of the big man. And that's the problem Murray's always going to come into.
And when they took his legs away from him last year, that production offensively went south quickly.
Yep. No
that,
doubt.
And the record resembled it. I mean, that was you literally his rush production coincided with them losing football games. That was it.
No doubt. And I think that that's why I urge the coaches to get guys under center. I mean, Greg Roman's finally admitting that Lamar Jackson needs to be under center. He does. It puts so much pressure on the defense. First of all, you know, if you're the Ravens and you're a really good inside run team, which they are, and you want to run the football, and they want to build an 8-man front against you, and you know that this quarterback can bootleg and run nakeds and create huge problems on the outside. So now he becomes a 11-on-11 game, right? Football's a game of numbers. The defense has 11. The offense has 11. But the offense is a quarterback who never blocks anybody. Never blocks anybody except when he runs boots and nakeds. Then he blocks somebody because when he rolls out there, someone has to go with him whether he has the ball or not. They have to hesitate a second. So in essence, he blocks someone. And that gives you a chance to finally balance the scorecard. And I think that we make this mistake. When you run RPOs, he's not blocking anybody. All you're doing is threatening the will linebacker. Is he holding? Is he watching? What are you doing? And people have gotten better at playing the RPO game.
It's VSIN.com, M. Lombardi NFL. As we say good morning and welcome you in, it is VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. We're talking Arizona Cardinals and their projections. The NFC West is going to be brutal this year. We were just talking about Kyler Murray. You see it laid out there right in front of you. The total as far as the Arizona Cardinals this year is 8. Now, if you want to go over that, you got to lay 134. In division, NFC West, we'll talk about that, 6-1. Super Bowl odds, 40-1. Made big moves in free agency, Michael. A.J. Green, J.J. Watt. Also, the blockbuster trade to get Murray some help in front of him with Rodney Hudson to bolster that offensive line. But you take a look in division, and I'm not moved by Green nor Watt.
No, because you know both. First of all, JJ still has some dynamic ability to his game. He still does. He just doesn't have it over 60 plays. And the longer that he plays, the more plays that he plays, the difficult it's going to become. And I think when you break down this Arizona Cardinal team and you look at some of the issues that they have, they're just not very good at doing certain things in the passing game. I mean, they're the one of the worst teams on third and long. And they've only converted 10% of their third and 10 or more. They're only 26th in the National Football League in converting third and medium, which is less than 6 yards. This game becomes a third down game. You say, well, how does this happen? Like, aren't they just this great passing team? Why aren't they able to convert third down? Because it's all pass, and everybody's rushing the passer. Just think about this, the way they play. Their offense on third and one, which is the most critical play come playoff time. Whoever converts third and one, the short yardage plays, are teams that can advance far into the playoffs because you need to possess the ball. And you can't be like Will Hill and not punt. You got to be able to possess the ball, win the third and ones, and if you don't get it, you're punting. Arizona on third and one last year was the 29th ranked team in the National Football League, only converting 55.6% of those. That's a problem. That's a huge problem. And, you know, the last 8 games of the season, they ranked 23rd in the league in scoring. So you've got to be really honest. Now, is A.J. Green going to help that? Is Rodney Hudson going to help that? We shall see. I think a lot of it lies at the feet of Murray. Can he make plays without having to be always in shotgun? And I think it really challenges Cliff Kingsbury to change what he's doing. Now, he has changed. He's got more tight end games, all that. But it's really going to have to challenge that.
Okay, brutal division. 8.5, the posted total now. 8.5 for the Cardinals. They won 8 games last year in a 16-game season. But this is, and maybe you can help the better understand this. This is a team that opened 6-3, and then they lost 5 of 7. Feels like teams catching up. Am I missing something with their late season collapse, the Cardinals?
Well, I think a lot of it has to do with the injuries of Murray. I think when you break down those games and you look at what happened in those last 8 games, you know, look, here's the reality. And I think if you're Steve Keim, you can't look at this any other way. They beat Buffalo in week 10 on the Hail Mary pass. Had they not won that game, they would have been 2-7 over the last 9 games. This is the reflection of this number.
Hmm. Yeah.
Okay. You know, could they have beaten New England in New England? Yeah, that was a close game. New England makes the last second field goal. The Rams beat them by 10. I mean, they beat the Giants in Philadelphia. Those were their 2 wins down the stretch. The Giants in Philadelphia. Those are not power rating wins.
You nailed it. So there it is. And it's a brutal division. They're 6.
That's why the number's so low, Patrick, is where are you getting wins? They go into Tennessee. Are they going to be favored in the Tennessee game? Of course they're not. Of course they're not. They're on the road in Tennessee. They come home and play the Vikings and Jags. Then they play Vikings, then they go to Jacksonville. They got Rams. They go to the Rams. I mean, we don't know where they are defensively. Look, they gave up 367 points. I mean, when you break the team down, you know, now they didn't have Chandler Jones last year, so they had some issues. But when you watch them and you see what teams were able to do for them, I mean, are they able to make plays? They forced 21 turnovers in 16 games. Is that good, Patrick?
No, I don't think so.
And three of them came against, okay, let's add it up. 4 came against Dallas. And 3 came against the Giants. So 7 of the 21 came against 2 really bad offenses.
I As a matter of fact, I think that 6-1 in division is pretty respectable. Like, they're getting respected is what I'm saying.
Why? Murray sensation. I mean, I think it's a lot of it is the Murray sensation, right? I mean, I think it's a lot of, look, everybody has this great sense that Murray, and it's the, you know, look, you see the highlights of him, and if you don't study him, you know, you really get caught into an illusion. But look, he averaged, here's what happened. He averaged 7.1 yards per attempt. He had 8 games where he was under 7 yards per attempt. He had huge games against Philadelphia at 1168. He had a huge game against Miami, 1088. He had a huge game against the Jets. Stop me when I'm talking about a good defense. 10-20. Then after that, everything was under 8 yards per attempt. You're not beating anybody if you're not over 8 yards an attempt. You're not going to do it. And he had too many games where, you know, the Giants, he averaged 6.97. They won that game. Against Carolina on the road, 4.29. Like, they made 32 plays of over 25 yards on the season. That's less than that's basically 2 per game. You can't win like that.
Also, if you're betting over Cardinals, the coach lost you a couple games last year. He's learning on the job.
He's learning. Vance Joseph, is the defense good enough? Look, we're going to read a lot about how sensational they are. We're going to read about how good they have become.
J.J. Watt,
you know, how A.J. Green's going to – yeah, we're going to read about A.J. Green going along. How do you defend, A.J. Green, DeAndre Hopkins? We're going to read about J.J. and Chandler Jones. But, you know, can Malcolm Butler – Malcolm Butler couldn't cover anybody last year at Tennessee. He's going to start corner for you. Robert Alford's over 30 years old. Is he going to be able to cover anybody? Byron Murphy, the kid they drafted in the second round out of the University of Washington, is yet to prove that he could cover anybody. Where are we stopping anybody on defense? You know, I just think it's a team that if we were playing 16 games as an eight-win team, I think they're 7-10, 8-9. I think that's where they are.
A lot of fluff pieces coming out. Just be warned. J.J. Watt, they'll write a story about J.J., our producer. There's going to be spots all over the place. Now,
as we
transition, and by the way, Josh just mentioned, so week 1, the Cardinals are at the Titans. That number open 2.5 with the Julio acquisition. It's been bet up to 3. So the Titans are now laying 3 at home week 1.
Steam.
Steam in June makes sense in the desert. Now,
was that a Sinatra song, Steam in June?
I don't know, but I think that was pretty eloquent way I put that together. No, you call me an author. Sometimes I have a hard time speaking. So ever since, and again, as we transition here on the Lombardi Line presented by BetMGM, you made me think about the Packers differently when you talk about that structure of their team in general. And Mark Murphy is essentially, he's the owner, while basically Green Bay and the citizens own the Packers. The CEO is Mark Murphy, so he's the figurehead, right? And we have some sound coming up in a little bit from Jordan Love, but I wanted to read this to you because you're going to love this. So Murphy, the CEO of the Packers, was talking at Lambeau Field, talking to a group of people, and he had a quote about Aaron Rodgers. Here's the quote from Mark Murphy, the CEO of the Packers. Quote, "I'm often reminded, though, of Ted Thompson. As most of you know, just a great general manager, he passed away earlier this year. He often talked about Aaron, that he's comp. And that's not just Aaron, it's a lot of different players. He would say, quote, he's a complicated fella. So I'll just say that." So you could hear in there, he was trying to like backtrack a little bit. He stopped himself from saying comp. And then he said, well, he's a complicated fella, but he's not the only one. Others are complicated as well. This is all just to say, why the hell is he talking about Aaron Rodgers in public? What, we know he's complicated. We know he's sensitive. We know he's vindictive. Why would you give him any more fuel? Just Murphy, keep zip it.
Why wouldn't you add one layer to this? Why wouldn't any conversation that you have about Aaron Rodgers just be between you and Aaron Rodgers?
Exactly.
Like, what you're trying to do is win some political votes on your side. And that game never works when you're dealing with players. Players will always have the chalk last in the court of public opinion. They always will. You know, it's the Julio news today that I'm going to prove everybody wrong that I'm not a durability issue. Look, I didn't put you on the injury report week 3 with a hamstring. I didn't put you on IR because you had a hamstring. This is just what's happened. You're not going to prove me wrong. You have to prove yourself wrong. That's where you are. And why would you have a conversation about Aaron Rodgers in public unless you're trying to sway the public opinion? It really doesn't matter because you can't. No one's going to believe that you're doing the right thing on air. You're not going to beat that. Aaron Rodgers, with his 48 touchdowns last year and his 5 interceptions, his 121 quarterback rating, his ability to win 13 games for you, that's going to go a long way. Whether he's complicated or not, it doesn't do you any good. You're not winning any public popularity contest. If you're the guy that can't make peace with Aaron Rodgers, you're going to be labeled you couldn't make peace with Aaron Rodgers, whether he's complex or not.
And, of course, Rodgers skipped all 3 days of the Packers' mandatory minicamp. Training camp starts July 27th. The starter, if you're going to be betting in the futures market on the Packers, you could be betting on Jordan Love. We do have Jordan Love talking. It's funny. It's almost like every snap, obviously, is covered by Jordan Love. One day I'll read he should never have been drafted in the NFL. He's not even prepared to play. And the next thing you'll read, he's going to be Joe Montana. So we do have Jordan Love talking about, is he prepared for week one? Let's go ahead and roll that.
100%. Obviously, this is a time where, you know, I'm getting a lot of extremely valuable reps that, you know, I might not have been getting in a normal circumstance. So, I'm going to take it day by day and, that's what I'm here for. I was drafted here to play quarterback, so I'll definitely be ready week one.
You could see him measuring his words because he has to measure his word. He's got the most sensitive dude on the planet in Hawaii, like watching the press conference, like, don't you say anything about me, Jordan. So Jordan Love's in a really tough spot.
He is more than ever, and the pressure's on him. He's never going to play to the level that Aaron Rodgers played last year. He's not ready to play to that level yet. It's just not there, you know. And the fact that Rodgers only turned the ball over 11 times all year, 11 times.
Incredible.
Okay, 4 of those turnovers happened in the Indianapolis game that went to overtime. Remember, that was a game they had the big lead, and he came back on. Hmm? You know, and so, you know, they that's going to be really hard for a young quarterback. And against a lot of different defensive coordinators that are playing and moving. Here's what we're hearing. We hear that he's having a much better camp. Well, he's going against a defense that's not going to be complicated in the Packer defense. It's going to be pretty simplistic, right? Because last year with Pettine, they were moving pieces around. This year, you know, they're going to be a little bit more Tampa 2. They're going to be a little bit more zone. Joe Barry, the defensive coordinator, is fairly basic. So if he's not having a good OTA days, if he's not having good practices, it's really alarming. Because he's not going to see that come opening day. He's not going to see that if he's the starter. So it's a learning curve. And the challenge is, how do I protect the football while I'm learning the game? And that's what keeps you from winning games when you play a young quarterback.
Well, I'll tell you what. We can throw up the BetMGM NFC North betting odds. You're taking a lot of risk. Remember when you explained the Titans as there's a lot of ifs? A lot of ifs if you're betting the Packers. But I'll tell you, you see it right there, division odds at BetMGM. The Packers are a minus 125 favorite. That is very much assuming that Aaron Rodgers is going to be the quarterback, Michael.
It's all assuming it, because what John Madden once said, and it's so true, the great player is a deodorant for most of the team. And Aaron Rodgers has been the greatest deodorant for the Packers. For Matt LaFleur, frankly, over 26 wins in the regular season the last 2 years. I mean, we're now going to see what Matt LaFleur is made of. What can he do offensively? What can he do with A.J. Dillon? You know, what's he going to be able to do with Davante Adams when they double him? And where is he going to go with the football? And can they run the ball? They get Bakhtiari back, which was huge. I think the Bakhtiari injury killed them because they moved Billy Turner over to left tackle, and he's not a left tackle. Their offensive line let them down, especially in the playoffs. And I think that those are concerns, but let's be honest. 11 turnovers for the entire season is going to be hard to duplicate if Rodgers isn't the quarterback, and those turnovers are going to translate into losses.
If Aaron Rodgers is a tremendous deodorant, what deodorant for the last 60 years have the Detroit Lions been using? The answer, they don't use deodorant.
That's a problem. Stink. They don't have one. They haven't had a deodorant. They haven't had anybody to cover up the sins of the organization. And I say that with respect to Aaron Rodgers. There's sometimes we misevaluate our team based on certain players covering up for the holes we have.
But do the Packers really have holes. It's a tremendous offensive line. They can run the ball well. Devontae Adams is a stud. I mean, does he have?
Yeah, but when you put because you know why? The quarterback makes you defend the width and the length of the field. He gets him into the right play at the right time. He's never fooled. There's so much that happens between the time they break the huddle until the ball snapped that fans don't get to witness. And it's in those 20 seconds that the game changes dramatically.
You know who's to blame for all this? Tom Brady. He went to Tampa. They said, yes, you can have whatever you want. Russell Wilson, Aaron Rodgers. Like, wait, I want that. I want Antonio Brown. I want everybody that I want. Basketball, hockey, baseball. You can get it all, just like Aaron Rodgers over at BetMGM. I'm sure he's logging on right now. It's a great interface. Boosted odds special. Shout to Bill Berman with the in-game betting. Download the BetMGM app today. Stop by any MGM casino on the Strip. Bring that state-issued ID, and you're ready to go and ready to bet within minutes. Whatever your sport, whatever your style, you're going to love BetMGM. State-of-the-art technology. Get the fan-friendly specials every day of the week. Visit BetMGM for terms and conditions. Must be 21 years or older. Physically located in Nevada. Please gamble responsibly. Got a gambling problem? Call 1-800-522-4700. Doubt or No Doubt coming up next, NFL edition. Fields, Lance, Jones. Who sees the field first? We'll ask Michael Lombardi that coming up next. We got Thomas Gable. We've got Josh Applebaum as well coming up as we continue on a Saturday. Racing fans, First Bet, it's the place for you. With wagering on races at over 300 tracks, AI-assisted picks, it's the easiest way to bet on your favorite sport. You see it right there. You get up to a $100 deposit match if you use the code Vegas100. Easiest thing for you if you're a VSiN viewer or listener, go to VSiN.com/horses. That's VSiN.com/horses, all brought to you by First Bet and Express Bet. Okay, we welcome you back here on the Lombardi Line, presented by BetMGM. I'm Patrick Maher. Is it starting, Michael Lombardi? Are you guys fully entrenched in summer? It's June, what, 12th? How's Ocean City? Is it hot?
It's supposed to get nicer today. Yesterday was a cooler day. It was in the mid-60s. So today it's supposed to be maybe a pool day today. I think our man is our coctologist, our man Bill Berman over there. Billy B, I think he's going to have people over, you know, and see if we can use the pool today. So I think that he'll be the great host. I don't know if he's going to have his tuxedo on today, but we shall see.
Wait, Bill Berman is a part of a gathering on a Saturday? I don't believe you. That's a lie.
He's an organizer. Oh, yeah. And he makes all the drinks. I mean, the man is multidimensional.
He's a great, you know what? Berman's a great host. If his financial career, which we know he's a baller, ever fell apart, he could come here and just be a host at a casino, and it'd be the most popular casino ever.
There's no doubt. Man can do it all. Well, I mean, let's face it, he can do it all.
You just said doubt. So let's play Doubt or No Doubt with Michael Lombardi.
Yeah.
Okay. This one's interesting. JJ has some good ones here. Justin Fields will start a game before Trey Lance and Mac Jones. So I want you to think about that one. Fields starts before Lance or Jones, doubt or no doubt?
No doubt. I think Justin Fields, if I were a betting man, and I'm recommending this to the audience in Marquee, I do believe that Justin Fields will be the day one starter for the Bears. I mean, it makes no sense not to start him day one unless he just completely doesn't understand the playbook, or he can't get the plays, or just something breaks down, because it really does you no good to go with Andy Dalton. It doesn't do you any good. You're not good enough. You need to be able to learn who this player is, build the offense around him, and tailor it that way.
So week one, you can get pretty good odds on him betting starting week one. I do like it, though. What's the point? Dalton's not the answer there. Okay, next one. Doubt or no doubt, the Broncos week one starter is currently on their roster.
I think that's, there's no doubt there either. I think that's a good question. I just don't see them being able to pull a trade off. I think it'll be Teddy Bridgewater, because Teddy Bridgewater, not because he's dynamic in what he does, I just think he will be able to protect the ball. And this Denver Bronco team, and we've talked a lot about them, they're good. They have a lot of good skill players. They have a defense that has four corners that rarely you'll see in the National Football League that can actually cover. They've got pass rush. If what we're hearing about Von Miller's health is back to where it was 2 or 3 years ago, they can rush the passer. So you like everything about them. If they don't turn the ball over, they're going to be able to play effectively.
By the way, Fields, this is Josh Applebaum, just got these numbers. Fields at 5-1 offensive rookie of the year. Those are the second best odds behind Lawrence. And Lawrence is your betting favorite for offensive rookie of the year, Michael, at plus 275. So 2.75 on Lawrence. That feels like actually a pretty good number on Lawrence, no?
Pretty good number. Yeah, it does. I mean, I don't see Fields having, I don't feel they see in Fields making an impact to win rookie of the year. I see him starting. I see him getting better as the year goes along. At least we have preseason games. I mean, that's the beautiful thing about what we're able to help the betting customer with, is we can watch these preseason games. They're all on a Saturday. They're not staggered this year. So we're going to be able to go through them all. They're all going to be able, we can view them. We can watch all the teams, kind of handicap the teams, get a good look. They're going to have to play certain players in these games for us to evaluate, which helps us. And then we can make a decision going forward into the regular season.
The only thing I'd be concerned about, didn't Dalton say he was all but promised that week one starting position there in Chicago? I mean, listen, promises are meant to be broken in the NFL. But
yeah, you know, I mean, wasn't that a Burt Bacharach song, Promises, Promises? I mean, you know, like.
Sing it. I can't remember.
You got to win the job.
For me.
I'm going to have to. You have to win the job. I mean, you have to earn the job. I think he was promised the opportunity to compete for the starting job. If any coach tells a player that you're the starter no matter what, he's lying to the player. He can't promise that. There's no ability based on, because if a player doesn't play well, how do you look at your team and say, guys, I'm going to start you even though you're playing terribly?
Just like gambling lingo, we should probably explain Bill Berman. He is the neighbor of Michael Lombardi. Very sharp guy. He's the director of operations here at the Lombardi Line. Is that the best way to put Bill
That's
Berman?
Right.
When you hear the name,
executive
a lot of
producer. No disrespect, JJ. Executive producer. You know,
no, he's also the host. It's not disrespecting JJ. He's taking my job, too. That's Bill Berman. Coming back, we're going to go to the Borgata, of course. Our buddy TGZ coming up next. Thomas Gable. Over at VSiN.com. Every day we're posting the latest betting splits on every game and the major sports with current odds and what percentage of the bets and money are being placed on each game. This is very important. If you're just getting into betting, get over there. VSiN.com. Bookmark the site. Betting splits, to me, it's our biggest addition in years. You can also get the odds data analysis for every game. Start your next sports bet at VSiN.com. And when you do, go to the book at the Borgata and beat up on Thomas Gable, who, of course, joins us now. Oh, Michael Lombardi, I'm Patrick Maher. Here's Thomas Gable. He runs the race and sports book at the Borgata. TG, how are you as we head into the weekend? What's going on, man?
Doing well, guys. How are you? Big Sixers win last night there, Michael.
Yeah, how was the book? Were they out in full force? Were they betting on it?
They were pounding the Sixers last night, so we took it on the chin in that game. But yeah, I mean, listen, you gotta give give Doc Rivers credit. I really like some of the schemes that he was coming up with. They played tremendous defense. And really, the Sixers, I think, last night showed why they are so dangerous. Their length and their size is just so hard to compete with defensively. Yep. That, I mean, they showed what they were capable of last night, and I give Doc a lot of credit for his game plan last night
as well. I thought yesterday was as impressive as it gets. This is a good teaching moment. So Jazz Clippers, you opened them 3.5. They've been bet up to 5. Your ticket splits are 50-50. However, 87% of the money, so more of the money as far as a handle on the Clippers here.
Right. Yes, and you've seen this line steadily climb there up to 5 currently. The total has ticked down a half a point from the opener. It's currently sitting at 223. Of course, the Jazz are up 2-0 in the series heading into Game 3 tonight. Can the Clippers really come back here in another series down 2-0? They did it against the Mavs. Tough task here against Utah. I think it's going to be a tougher job here against Utah. They're the third in offensive rating among the playoff teams, and a lot to do with that is Donovan Mitchell. I mean, the first two games of this series, he's averaging 41 points per game. He's shooting 44% from three. And we've seen the narrative of the team that's down 0-2 coming home and expecting a hot start. Don't think that you jump on the first quarter Clippers or first half Clippers that you're going to be getting some sort of value there. Believe me, the first quarter number, which right now we have the Clippers laying 2, and then the first half the Clippers are laying 4, believe me, that's already built into that number. So don't think that you're just going to be getting that because, hey, it's the home team, they're down 0-2, they're going to come out hot. I mean, you could certainly bet that narrative, but the number is already reflecting that.
Thomas, do you think this will get to 5.5, or do you think you're pretty much done there?
No, I think it could still potentially go up. And, you know, you're just seeing so much Clippers money here. And the other thing I think we need to talk about for a minute and recognize Bogdanovich for a minute, how great he has been defensively in the first two games for Utah. For a guy not known at all for his defense and seen much more as a liability on the defensive end, he has been outstanding. When he's guarded Kawhi Leonard, Leonard only has 7 points, and he's only attempted 1 3-pointer when Bogdanovich has been on him. And I think credit to the Utah coaching staff for motivating him to be more aggressive defensively in the playoffs. But he's been a big big factor there, surprisingly, on the defensive end.
Utah's great. Utah's very good. And, Michael, the question of Mitchell being a superstar, he's entered that. I mean, he is. He's been awesome.
He's amazing. I mean, you know, you try to get up on him and try to hug that three-point line, and he goes right past you. You know, you've got to make him work defensively. And I mean, I think that's been the you got to make Utah work defensively. But if they're going to shoot 50-some percent from the three-point line, I mean, how are you going to handle them? I mean, they're number one team in point differential in their offense of the remaining teams is fourth overall. Philly's the second-best offense in the playoffs remaining here. And I think when you break down point differential, I mean, Utah's plus fourth best team in that area at +8. So they really have dominated over the last 2 weeks. They've played extremely well, only giving up 113.7 points.
Are you taking all net money tomorrow with the Nets and the Bucks Game 4?
Yeah, pretty much, Patrick. There's been some interesting line movement on this game already. I mean, we opened the Nets laying 2. That's currently where they sit. But this has actually gone down to 1 and then been bet back up to the 2. So, yeah, mostly Nets money here. It's trended more towards the under. We opened it at 230 on the total, now down to 228.5. Of course, that last game that was played in the 80s, literally point-wise and also decade-wise. I mean, it was an anomaly for sure, but you're seeing a lower total here, I think, because of that. And probably there's going to be some recency bias there. I mean, people are going to be looking at that game and saying, geez, they both teams scored in the 80s last game.
Yeah, but I think, you know, Thomas, what worries me about that on that is that both teams shot so poorly from the three-point line and from the field goal. I mean, both teams were in the low 30s in field goal percentage. And do you think that's going to happen again? I just don't see that happening again for both teams. Do I think it goes under? Yeah, I do, because the last three games have all gone under. But I think you're going to see a little bit of an uptick in terms of field goal percentage.
Oh, for sure, for sure. And again, I think, you know, pace is always a factor with these two teams. Both teams like to get up and down. So, yeah, I agree with you, Michael. I, you know, I don't know if this total is going to go much lower, but yeah, you're certainly not going to see a game like you did the last one.
Yeah, our theme's been in-game betting. Imagine if you're in-game betting in game three, you'd think you were drunk if you looked and the adjusted total was 190 for the game. Nets and Bucks, Thomas. I mean, that was, you said 80s, and that was, if you said that was the end of the third quarter, that was unbelievable.
Sure.
I mean, cash 60 points under.
Yeah. I mean, that, you're dead on. I mean, that would be a score that you would typically see, you know, at the end of the third quarter. And it's funny because I was having dinner with Michael that night when the game had started, and he was checking the live scores on it, and you know, we both said at that point, listen, this is going to go way under.
Awesome, fellas. Just checking my phone. I did not see the invite, but I'll just keep scrolling through to see. This is breaking news. You two big dogs in Jersey are hanging out. Was the governor there, Michael?
It wasn't the governor, but we were, you know, Thomas invited me over for a lovely dinner. Millie and I went over. We had a great dinner over at the Borgata. We talked about how you'll never leave the house.
FOMO.
It made no sense to even contact.
I've got fear of missing out.
So we just went ahead that way.
Yeah, I've got FOMO. Thomas.
Thank you, Mr. Gable.
We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Again.
I'll invite you tomorrow, Thomas. We'll see you then.
Thank you, Patrick.
All right, thank you. I got FOMO big time now. We'll come back. Josh Applebaum likes me. He's going to be joining us here on the Lombardi Line. Presented by BetMGM. It's VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. BetMGM, it's the king of sportsbook. You got the big card coming up, MMA tonight. You bet $1 on the champ to defend his title, Adesanya. You're going to win $100 free. VSiN 100 is the code. Visit BetMGM.com or download the BetMGM app. It's pretty simple. It's awesome, and it's a great deal. If you have a gambling problem, please call 1-800-522-4700, Colorado, Nevada, Virginia, and Washington, D.C. 1-800-270-7117 for help in Michigan. 1-800-GAMBLER in Jersey, Pennsylvania, and West Virginia. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. In Tennessee, call or text REDLINE 800-889-9789. In Indiana, call 1-800-9-WITH-IT. As we welcome you back, of course, our buddy Josh Applebaum is here. Market Insights is the podcast, VSiN.com/podcast. We have an update on actually the NBA draft. But quickly, you heard that, Josh. Now I have big-time FOMO. It was not only Michael Lombardi, Thomas Gable, and Millie. It was also Wolfgang Puck at the same table. So when you...
you didn't hear me correctly. Wolfgang's on the way out. It was his old restaurant.
My bad.
The novelist spinning stories around. You know, Josh, I can't see it.
I just watched the Hemingway documentary, and I got a little loose with it. Hey, how about this, Josh? And this is where you start to lose value. Maybe this is a good teaching moment on the first draft in the NBA, first pick in the NBA draft, Cade Cunningham. What do you got?
Yeah, so this goes out to the true grinders who listen to the Lombardi Line every day, every weekend. And this guy would put up in, it's getting close to the Hall of Fame closing line value pick that Michael helped us all cash with Zach Wilson going second overall.
Yep.
So let's talk the NBA draft. It's not as big, obviously, betting-wise as the NFL draft, but there's still obviously a lot of money to be made with the prop market. So guys, the NBA draft is coming up July 29th. The combine starts June 21st, so next week. And also the lottery is June 22nd. So we'll find out, Patrick, if your Detroit Pistons here get the number one pick. But we've seen a big move for Cade Cunningham. Now, we kind of shouted out Cade Cunningham, obviously star from OK State, kind of like a Jason Tatum guy, 6'8", can kind of score from any point at the floor. But, Michael, we talked about him being a minus 500 favorite a few weeks ago. And I just curiously looked at the odds here at BetMGM. Cunningham under the radar has moved all the way to minus 1,000 to go first overall. So he opened at a minus 500, 83% implied probability. He's now up to minus 1,000, 91% implied probability.
Wow.
And really, you have Jalen Suggs plus 900, Mobley plus 1,100. You have a couple of these G League guys, Green and Kuminga, plus 1,400. But Michael, this just goes to show you, if you find a book that hasn't adjusted to this yet, it looks like Cade Cunningham, fait accompli, to go number one overall.
You know, and I think Kuminga is the wild card, right? I mean, he didn't play college. He's the G League guy. They have two G League guys in the top five. And, you know, you worry he's got an NBA body that he could play right now. So you could see that. And, you know, Mobley's a really good player. Jalen Suggs, to me, would be the wild card. And the one thing I would say about Cade Cunningham is no matter who gets the first pick in the draft, if he is that good, he'll fit within whatever system. This isn't like, you know, when Antone came out or the big centers come, we don't really want a center. We've got a center. We're looking more for a point guard. I think this is a little bit more two-way. So I think whatever team gets the first pick certainly could use it. The question is, Josh, how good of a draft is this? I think Jalen Suggs could be really good. I think Kuminga could be really good, but we won't know. I think the depth of this draft, remember, you got to have a high pick to win in the NBA. Okay, we'll talk about that later. But the reality of it is how good are these players?
Yeah, Evan Mobley, the center, USC. Also Jalen Green, who skipped college, went to the G League. Big, tall, but skinny guard. I think you're right. It's a weird draft, Michael. I think it could have a tremendous upside, or who knows? Could be somewhere in the middle. We know Suggs, given intangibles, is going to be a top five pick just because he does so many things. He plays like a football player, basically.
He really does. And I mean, I think he could, you know, he showed and demonstrated through the tournament that he can play against anyone. And I think he's only going to get better. I mean, God, he's so young. He's a, you know, he's going to be 19, 20 years old. I mean, there's great improvement with him that you could see. Plus, he's got an NBA body right now. He's got a 6'6" wingspan, which is critical.
So Michael asked Thomas Gable at the Borgata, Josh, if he saw this Clipper number continuing to rise. And Thomas said he wouldn't be surprised if he saw 5.5s. He opened at 3.5. So we'll get into this. The Jazz at the Clip tonight. He opened at 3.5. He's all the way up to 5. And like I said, wouldn't be surprised if he saw 5.5. That kind of coincides with what you're saying here. You love the Clippers tonight.
I do. And I think, you know, if you're betting the Clippers, you know, you're banking on a couple of things. Number one, contrarian opportunity. You know, some, different books are split a little more 50-50. A lot of the books that I'm looking at, especially the public books, are way more lopsided to the Jazz. Again, kind of an obvious play. How do you not take the points with a team that's up 2-0, playing great here, Donovan Mitchell, the whole thing. But number one, a lot of these books are, and again, remember, this is the only game in town tonight, 8:30 primetime game. These are the opportunities that I like to go contrarian and bet against the public in. But also, it's all about that movement, guys. The fact that a lot of these books, even 3.5, I mean, that was 3.5 up to 5. That's a huge move in the NBA playoffs, a full point and a half. But even these books that were 4, 4.5 up to 5, you know, we'll see if it gets to 5. A lot of these books that I'm seeing, some of the 5s are going back down to 4.5. I think if you're betting the Clippers, the big sharp indicator I saw was anything 4.5 or less. So I think if you're at a book with a 5 and you like the Clippers, I think you wait it out. Maybe you see this thing drop. It could also go the other way. So you got to walk that tightrope. But to me, Michael, that sharp number is 4.5. If you can wait it out or find a 4.5, Clippers tonight, guys, big move in their favor. And I agree, based on that total, I think you might have leaned under, but I agree. That was 223.5 down to 223. We've seen the over-under, you know, go 1-1 these first two games. But in the second round, guys, second round unders doing pretty well, 7-4 so far. That's way different from the first round where we saw a lot of overs cash.
You know, what I would say, Josh, I think a little bit of a difference here is the numbers you and I are looking at online, you know, includes global offshore betting. And so our numbers for this Utah Clippers game, when we do the spreads, is 55% of the money's coming in on Utah, 45% of the money's coming in on Los Angeles. There's not a lot of discrepancy. So based on the board we're looking at, there's no way this line would move from 4.5 to 5 or back down. I mean, to me, the money spread that we're looking at online is even. Gable is an independent bookstore. Even though it's BetMGM, his numbers are in basically from his house.
Right.
And he's got a huge variance. And that's why his number, because remember, the betting market is to adjust to based on the money coming in and based on what the algorithms are. So he may get to 5.5. That doesn't mean the world's market's going to get to 5.5. And once again, you got to shop for the best number. If you like the Clippers, there may be 4.5s out there for you to take.
If you hear somebody on VSiN say multiple outs, it means have different places you can get down because every book's going to be a little bit different, and often you're going to have to pay a regional tax. Josh, I know you wanted to follow up on something that Michael was saying.
Yeah, I just wanted to say, Patrick, one thing here. You know, a lot of times you can get into battles on Twitter or argue with people and say, oh, it's 50% tickets here, but I'm seeing 75, I'm seeing 45. I wouldn't get too caught up into the nitty-gritty of betting percentages because Michael made a great point. Different shops have different clientele. You have global books, you have different books. You have regional biases. All these things come into play. So I would maybe take an average of a lot of the books you respect, these big market setting books. But here's the thing. Focus more on the line movement, because whether you see a percentage of 50% of bets on the Clippers or 35% of bets on the Clippers, you can kind of find out where that money's going based on the line movement. Again, the fact that this line is going to the Clippers, I lean more line movement. I like getting percentages, but again, they can be very different based on the shop. So kind of find that common denominator with the line movement. That's going to be more universal across the whole market than really these betting percentages will be.
Clippers 4-1 ATS, their last five as a favorite. They stand the favorite at 5. We'll see if there's an update on Conley Jr. as well for the Jazz. You can hear the conversation between Michael and Millie already tonight. And Michael, I got your back on this one. The game starts 8:30 your time. It's the only game in town. Why can't it start 7:30 your time?
Yeah, I mean, Will Hill will get on that. Between, Connecticut gambling, fixing the Lakers, and then making sure the Vikings are in order, we'll get Will Hill on some of this television stuff. It's Saturday night. I think they want to go into that market. And typically, NFL doesn't like to show games on Saturday. They don't think the Saturday night market, unless it's in the dead of winter where there's no one's going outside. So, they like you said earlier today in the show, Patrick, Phoenix – Utah final is not going to be as appealing. Now, Brooklyn, Philadelphia, that'll get some ratings. You know that. New York and Philadelphia will certainly get some. But you have to worry about where these ratings are going to come in at as the end of the year goes. They say they're up a little bit. We shall see.
Absolutely. Josh, a little baseball update before we get out of here today.
Yeah, a couple baseball updates. And Michael, if any of these kind of match your system, let me know. But just a few. Yankees are at Philadelphia. Everyone's betting the Yankees. This is Taillon against Velasquez, but we've seen a move a little bit toward Philly. If you're looking for a dog, Philly's gone from around plus 120 down to around plus 110. We've seen this interleague line move do very well so far in Major League Baseball. You're also looking at KC Oakland, big steam on the Oakland A's. They're at home against the Royals. And this is kind of a bet against Jackson Kowar, who's a young starting pitcher for the Royals, who's really, really struggled here. You've seen Oakland get steamed up around minus 140 all the way to minus 160. This is a good sweet spot, a non-division home favorite between minus 150, minus 175. They've gone 40-19 this year, 68%. If you want to buy low on the Padres are at the Mets. DeGrom, who left early yesterday, the Mets did get a win. But I think you're buying low on the Padres here, guys. This is Musgrove against Stroman. And you look at the Pods, they've lost five of their last six, yet they're getting hit today. This would be a fave low total. Padres open around minus 120 all the way up to minus 134. The White Sox, who've been really good to us, Michael, here, especially against lefties, against Patrick's Tigers, they've been steamed up a little bit around minus 165 to minus 175. And then late night, keep an eye on the Cubbies at home against the St. Louis Cardinals here. They're really getting hit hard at Wrigley Field, minus 160 up to around minus 180.
Josh, I'm going back to the well again. I won with Houston yesterday. I'm going back with Houston. Jose Barrios has had a strong season for the Twins, but he has a trouble against the Astros. 6.43 ERA average against the Astros. One of the best hitting teams in baseball. I'm doubling down on the Astros again today. Won yesterday. I'll take them again today.
Bunch of cheaters, Houston Astros.
Sorry.
Hey, good job, Michael. Enjoy your Saturday.
It's what I see in the. It's what I see in the morning.
Hey, Mr. Baseball. Go with it. 3 o'clock in the morning is early to get up and cap these. Enjoy the party with Berman today. We'll have some
thank
FOMO
you,
there.
You're invited.
Thank you. Appreciate that. I'll see you there. Josh, have a great day. Thank you, Book. Thank you, JJ. Everybody downstairs. There's Brady Cannon. He and James Salinas coming up next. We'll see you tomorrow morning, same time, here on the Lombardi Line. It's VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.